This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
And we bring in a legend in Cleveland sports writing as one of the finest journalists to ever put pen to paper or...
Wow.
How else? What other great comment can we say?
He types with two fingers.
Ink. Just like me. We're cut from the same cloth. Awesome. He is Terry Pluto from Cleveland.com. Terry, how are you?
Reports of my demise are a bit exaggerated. When they say legend and all that, that usually means you are gone from the scene. But I will take the compliment anyway.
Your skills are not diminishing. Does that make you feel better?
Yeah. Well, when you have two fingers, there's a lot of backups.
See? Hey, I'm enjoying vintage Browns, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That was fun to write. And it was fun to write from, well, I know you got other stuff, but I just wanted to mention, because I didn't cover those guys. I was doing the Cavaliers then and the Indians before that. So, I mean, I'd watched some of the games here and there, but when I covered a beat, I kind of got immersed in whatever that was, and I just wasn't into it. So, and I didn't know those people. So that was the fun part about this. I came sort of with fresh eyes and a chance to... I didn't have a lot of preconceived notions on it, too. And that, I think, led for a different type of book.
I enjoy it. Yeah, it's good.
Terry, let's dive into the Guardians here right now.
Okay.
They're back to 14-14. And it's so weird. They're like being on a roller coaster. Are they doing what we thought they were going to? Like, Jeff and I always talk about this. They're doing, I think, what we expected them to do this season.
Yeah, if not a little better.
Yeah.
Because I had them, I think it was 77 and 85. And I thought the start could be really rocky, because that tends to be the case when your roster is really young. And then you sort of sort through it and you say, okay, these guys we talked to play, they're going back to Columbus, and you bring up some guys from Columbus that can help. They've already had that thing up and down 71 going, but, you know, this past week, the split with San Diego and then winning 3 out of 4 from Toronto, I think is monumental for them, just so they get out of what they can only beat bad teams. Because remember, at one point, I think they were 1-10 against winning teams. So San Diego had a winning record, and they split, and Toronto had a winning record. So that's good for their confidence.
Terry, one thing that's, I think, a little surprising, we're getting guys like Andres Jimenez, Owen Miller, Stephen Kwan, and if they can keep it going, they're answering huge questions that this team had going into the season.
And Owen Miller.
Yeah, and Owen Miller.
Owen, you know, I've even forgotten, because I was on the Owen Miller train in spring training of last year. You know, I really liked him in that. And this is the Owen Miller I saw last spring. I mean, where he was just sort of hitting everything and rarely fooled and that. And remember, then he went down to Columbus, he hit 400, came up here and acted like he never saw a baseball in his life. I mean, he just was totally overwhelmed. And then it was up and down and just sort of seemed lost. This spring he hit again. I wrote a column at the end, like, I'm getting back on the bus, but I'm a little guarded about it, you know, with him. And we've seen just how wonderful he's played. I mean, he's batting cleanup.
Yeah, that bothers me a little bit.
I mean, part of it was Reyes, but still, right. I mean, he came up with a guy on third, he knocked him in. Later in the game, he hit a home run. He hit it against Toronto, not the Reds.
Terry, do you think financial help's on its way for this team as far as a minority owner or some kind of ownership change?
I've heard nothing imminent. I wrote a thing right around opening day it's an excellent source, I can tell you that one, the initial thing they were talking about, and it's still out there, would just be buying the 15% that belongs to Sherman that's in the escrow account. So
right.
It wouldn't like somebody's coming in buying half the team. And that this went slowly. When it took Dolan almost a year and Sherman to cut the deal for him to buy. Originally, he bought 15%, then he bought another 10% to get up to 25%. And then when he left, Dolan bought back the original 10. So that's basically you're talking 15%. The answer in the short term is no. Although I do think they're going to cut some sort of deal with them, but it's not going to change the financial landscape. I mean, guys, think about this. You know what this year is showing, and I think all of us have had a lot of respect for the front office, but these guys really know how to grab prospects from other teams and things. And the farm system, they call it finishing them off, you know, has really done a good job with that.
You know, the Clevenger trade, Terry, is the perfect example of what you're talking about. They filled four or five roster spots based on one trade.
And there's a pitcher down in Akron named Cotillo that they got in the deal. He had a little bit of an arm problem last year, but look at his stats right now.
Yeah.
And he's pitching well. And, I mean, who knew that Hedges would end up being the starting catcher? And remember, fans go way overboard about the batting average. The average catcher, when I looked the other day, was hitting like 221 and, you know, with not that much power. And so you have him there. And then you look at Quantrill, who the Padres had given up on as a starter and just put him in the bullpen, and they fixed him. You know, the only guy from the Padres they really couldn't fix is Logan Allen, the Logan Allen, the pitcher. So they decided to draft another Logan Allen that's better.
You know, people look at sports in different ways and get enjoyment out of it in different ways, Terry. And watching our baseball team, I am very willing to accept the fact that they're not going to spend like the Dodgers or the Yankees. And I still find it fascinating and entertaining. And it's kind of a weird place to be, though, because so many people are mad at the organization because they don't spend like crazy. But to me, it's never really affected my enjoyment of a particular game or a particular sport. How do you approach that?
Life is hard when a narrative is out there. And I don't care if you're in our business, in the media, or if you're running a team, you know, you're cheap, or this guy's critical all the time, or this guy's soft on the teams all the time, or whatever it is. And you just get labeled. And the payroll standings don't always equal the baseball standings. I mean, in the end, yes, it seems like the Dodgers, the Yankees, they like basically buy their way into the playoffs. They really do. But when you look at the other way that, you know, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, and Oakland have continually, you know, defied the odds. And what Cleveland has never done is, especially once Chris Antonetti took over in full force in 2011 and 12 there, and he caught at the end of where they were losing 90 games. But since then, I mean, he told me, and Paul Dolan told me too, they did not want to go losing that 95 to 100 game round. They just don't. And you could argue all you want about they didn't spend. They haven't done that. I mean, look what the Reds have done. That's a great baseball town. They just And Detroit can't get out of that rut that they've been in for quite a while. The Orioles, you know, who I covered in 1979, I was a Cleveland guy, but I mean, I fell in love with the Oriole way there, and Earl Weaver and Hank Peters and John Hart was in the farm system then, and those guys came over and fixed the Indians. They have averaged 111 losses over the last three 162-game seasons. 111! Baltimore.
Which was one of the primo organizations, as you said, in all of baseball.
I mean, if anything, the Guardians now are much like the Orioles then. They didn't win a lot of World Series, but they were, you know, had winning seasons almost all the time. They had good pitching. They made the playoffs. They had a sharp manager. You just had a feeling they just knew what they were doing. And I think that the Guardians don't get enough credit for knowing what they're doing.
I agree. I think Jeff agrees with that, too. Let's switch gears to football here for a second. Terry, have you ever seen a story like this Baker Mayfield story? Like, I'm trying to think of other stories.
It's so odd, no.
It's
I mean,
wild.
It probably has to be. Certainly not around here for the last 20 or 30 years. It's just odd. And right now, nothing's going to happen with it for a while. There's no urgency. You know, when there was no trade made around the draft or whatever, now everybody's just going to, you know, the Browns are going to sit there and see if somebody blows a knee in training camp or whatever. You know, Baker's not, and the quarterback room is full. So in fact, I'm writing a column now for tomorrow morning called What the Browns Need to Do Next Besides the Endless Baker Mayfield Talk. It's a Baker Mayfield free zone because I have nothing new to say about it on that. And you guys are correct. It's just very strange.
Terry, I don't know if this matters, but Andy and I have kicked it around a little bit. When Deshaun Watson eliminated the Browns, and the next day Baker comes out and asks for a trade, if he doesn't do that, is he the quarterback of this team right now and Deshaun Watson is somewhere else?
No.
Okay.
No, they were absolutely – they had Deshaun Watson fever. And I really believe the front office was told, you do what you need to do to get this deal done. And they did. So that doesn't mean Barry was against signing Watson entirely or whatever, but I have a hard time believing the front office analytics base was so willing to go completely off of their playbook, you know, trading all the draft picks and the salary cap stuff. Because remember, there's a three-part thing to this story. Number one is the whole civil case and, you know, some moral issues for some people are going to have in that. Number two is an unprecedented trade. You have to go back to Herschel Walker the last time three number ones were traded for a player. And then number three is an unprecedented contract with all that money guaranteed for a guy who didn't even play last year.
That scares me.
Yeah, it can still work out. It really can. Sure. If he comes in here and plays terrific and they start to win, it's worth it. But if it doesn't, do you understand where I'm coming from?
Absolutely.
Here? It's
yeah.
a three-pronged thing with a lot of risk involved. I mean, I had one top executive tell me it's one of the biggest high-risk, but he also said high-reward deals he's seen in his career. Because he goes, this could work out well for them, too. Because if this guy, you know, gets past all that, doesn't get in any more trouble, plays like the guy that we saw in Houston for the most part, you know, he didn't always have a great year, but, he's got the highest completion percentage of any quarterback who's thrown 1,500 NFL passes. I'm not sure he's in top three or five like the Browns say, but he's good. He's good. And, you know, very good, could really carry this team a long way. But there's all those other issues.
Terry, do you believe that other owners don't want to play ball with the Browns to try to pick
up
Baker? Yeah,
I've insisted that, but here's why. That's a complicated thing, too, just like I said with Watson. Number one is Baker's coming off a bad year in shoulder surgery, so he's damaged goods. Number two is you have a $19 million payroll thing to be a hit. These teams do favors for each other. They do them. No matter what they say, they do. I could go back to Vince Lombardi and Paul Brown actually would swap players back and forth. Vince Lombardi called Paul Brown and said, I can't keep Ernie Green on my roster. You really should get this guy. He will help you. And they cut this little deal for him, and it goes back in there. When the Browns helped OBJ to become a free agent, not only did they do that, you know, so he could pick his team, they were very well aware that he was likely to go to the Rams or a team like that. And they did it anyway. So one, teams are very unhappy with the Watson contract, no matter what they say. Number two, Baker's got a high contract figure. And number three, you're not sure how good he is. And number four, he talks to Mike the Rapper for 90 minutes. Never talk to a rapper for 90 minutes and put it on YouTube. That's a new rule. Something dumb is going to come out of that.
That might be the best thing that anybody is going to learn all day long.
Yeah, it is true. And I'm not talking to Mike the Rapper for 90 minutes. I could probably end up out of a job. He seems like a very nice guy. But you're hanging out with the bro. It's bro talk here and there. Next thing you're saying, well, you know, these guys are like, some just want to get their pensions and I can't motivate him. It's like, oh, my goodness. Shut up.
Just scratch the dog and leave everything else alone,
right? Oh, that poor dog.
But it's all involved because what you really need is a team that wants to play ball with you to help you on this contract situation with Baker, given all the other stuff. By the way, why are the Browns trading with Houston all the time if they're not friends?
Good point.
Yeah. Let me ask you a Cavs question. A fabulous season came to a disappointing finish, yet the team is, I think, primed for really good things down the road. If you're a betting man, is this team the main pieces back, Terry? And I'm thinking about Colin Sexton.
Who's the main pieces?
Colin Sexton, and this last year Kevin Love was one of them.
Oh, okay. Now it gets interesting because you're off of the big three.
Yeah, they're here.
Yeah. If I'm running them, Colin gets a qualifying offer, and that's it.
Okay.
Here's your qualifying offer. You're coming off the bench. And this is a chance for you to really establish yourself in that role and play forever, like Lou Williams or some of these others. Kevin is interesting because it is the one contract that they could use to bring in something big in if somebody's interested in him.
And he has 1 year left.
Yeah, 1 year, I think $30 million or $28. It drops down slightly. I don't know. He won me totally over this year. I mean, that was a phenomenal season he had.
Great. Yep.
And the way he really – this is the love that they gave the contract to way back when. This is the person that they wanted to see. I don't – by the way, what do you think of this, you guys? This idea he only played 10 minutes because he had trouble in the pick and roll against Trae Young. You're going to only play him 10 minutes in that game when you can't score?
I still can't figure it out, Terry. Mm-mm.
94 seconds in the second half.
Yep. I don't get it.
Inexcusable. They weren't guarding him anyway.
No. No, they weren't.
I don't care who was in that pick and roll. They were all messed up. So,
Terry, I saw pictures of Kevin Love and LeBron together over the weekend. And I want to believe that there is no way LeBron would ever end up in a Cavaliers uniform. Can you confirm or deny your thoughts on LeBron ever coming back?
I don't think so, but I'm never going to say never with anything with LeBron. But I know that with a year left on that contract with the Lakers, I mean, I've heard some NBA people say for all LeBron's this and that, he knows he's been hurt quite a bit the last few years. And if the Lakers throw a big extension at him, he's just going to sign it. But remember, I mean, it's like the old line from with Humphrey Bogart, we'll always have Paris.
Yeah.
Well, these guys that were on that team in 2016 coming back from 3-1, they'll always have Cleveland and Golden State. I mean, they really will. And to Kevin Love, all he'd been through and that, and I think LeBron is a greater appreciation of Love than ever. And by the way, you notice Kyrie Irving ain't in that picture.
No, he's not, is he? He's not in anybody's team picture.
No.
Gary.
No.
Team Kyrie.
I had somebody tell me, and then I heard it somewhere else. I wish I had thought of it myself, because LeBron's biggest achievement may have been keeping that guy under control for 3 years as an Irving.
Let me ask you one last thought for me, and this is a big generic question, but I'm kind of optimistic where all three teams are in town right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a hunch, which one is ready to compete for a championship more than the others?
Well, the big risk, big reward one is the Browns. You know, if the big reward comes through, they've got the more veterans on the roster, more talent, everything else ready to go.
Okay.
So that's what I would say. Then after that, both teams are young, and Jeff and Andy, you guys have been around. The NBA punishes young teams in the playoffs for the most part.
Yes, it does.
You know, unless you get like a Chris Paul or somebody else to, you know, kind of help you jump around some of that stuff. That's a tough thing for the Cavs. But I'm not in the mood to like just rush with the Cavs. I want to keep the core together. I just don't consider Sexton part of the core. I consider him a nice thing coming off the bench. I do not want to see that mini backcourt together. You can't do that again. You know, whether you want to play LeVert back there or play, go ahead and see if I like. Kobe Altman has all those phrases, doesn't he? We're going to unlock Isaiah Okoro. Yeah, where was the key this year? But you know, my thing was just that the poor kid's only been in the league for 2 years. I say that because at 19, 20, 21, what do they know? You know, they know. But this, I'll tell you this much: they can't play Darius Garland 38 minutes a game after, as they did in the second half of the season after the All-Star break. Can't do it.
No, we watched it.
Yeah,
Terry,
break down.
As always, we love having you on the show. Please come on the show more often. We'll
all
talk
right,
to you soon.
All right, take care. All right, and goodbye to Meredith, too.
Bye, Meredith.
Goodbye, Meredith.
Bye, Terry.
She told me when she has her own show, she'll let you guys on once in a while.
Oh, that'll be nice. Goodbye, Terry.
Only if she needs to fill time as opposed to a great guest like Gary. Like Terry.
Or Gary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.